meeting, the March 19th meeting of the Electronic Real Estate Recording Commission. Call to order. I see that we have a quorum. Looks like we do anyway. So why don't we take a look at the agenda? Anybody have any other comments, suggestions, additions that they'd like to put on the agenda? Hearing none, we'll...
That's right.
We'll go ahead with the agenda. We have, let's see, two members missing, Pam Trombo and Ben Marchek.
And Teresa.
Teresa won't be here today either. She had another... You know, there's this financing issue that's going on with money for the banks that they're finalizing something on mortgages that, again, has called her away from being able to join us again today. So, anyway, we won't have Teresa here today. And, Ryan, we've got you on the phone. Is that right?
I am here.
Good. Have you finally got elections all taken care of up there in Becker?
We're thinking about starting all over again, though.
You know, if you just elect the right people up there, you know, we wouldn't have all these problems.
Gee, thanks.
Anyway, well, why don't we move ahead then with the minutes. Have people had an opportunity to review the minutes? I think we got them out this month before the meeting, so we did a little better job this month, so... Any comments, corrections, additions on the minutes? Hearing none, I'd entertain a motion to
I move
approve.
Approve.
It's been moved. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Been moved by Bob and seconded by Janine to approve the minutes. Any discussion? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's approved. So let's just go on to introductions. I guess I already did kind of comment about who's not here, so maybe we'll just go around the table again and mention all the commission members that are here, and then we'll go to the guests that we've got here today. So, Eileen, I'll let you
start. I'm Eileen Roberts. I represent the Minnesota State Bar Association Section of Real Property Law.
I'm Bob Burton from the Minnesota Historical Society.
Jeff Carlson, I represent the Minnesota Land Title Association.
And I'm Mike Kniff, a recorder from Hennepin County, and I represent the Minnesota County Officers Association.
I'm Janine Barker, a Lyon County recorder, and I, too, represent the Minnesota Association of County Officers.
Ryan?
Ryan Tangen, Becker County Auditor-Treasurer, and I am representing MACO as well.
And I'm Diane Henry-Wangenstein. I'm with LCC staff, so staff with for the ERERC.
I'm Sally Kidd, also LCC staff.
Sherry
what?
Simpson, Hennepin County.
Kevin Rustin, Reliable Sites.
Karen Renshaw, Old Legal Docs.
Mm-hmm. Bill Morey, Triumph Systems, and I am covetous of our esteemed colleague from the Historical Society's tie. You better beware.
You might want a photograph for the website.
Wow.
Trying to brighten up our day.
Mr. Silas C. Carlson, County Recorder.
Very good. Oh, we've got another.
Dallin Meyer, Simple File.
Welcome. Well, my welcome to all of those of you that are guests. We're glad to have you with us. And why don't we move on to the agenda updates for our committees. Item 5 on the trusted submitter, and I'll just ask Jeff for the update. You might want to comment about the upcoming MLTA meeting. Then.
Oh, yeah. Well, two things. One is as soon as we have the standards and the recorders go through that, then we'll deliver that out to the submitter group, Minnesota Land Title, just in essence to kind of get the last review on the documents. And I know we kind of have these four buckets for documents, and we'll get the MLTA to look at that and say, yep, that makes these documents belong in this bucket, that makes sense, that type of thing. So we'll get that out just as soon as the reporters are done reviewing that. I'm sure that's the next update. And then Mike and I are April 6th, right, are going to give we're going to try and keep it to 10 minutes and give a little presentation or update on what this group is doing and what's going on and our future plans for this group. Want to add anything to that?
No. Nope. I told them that I would see to it that we keep Jeff short enough so we didn't run over on it.
Oh, that's good.
I told them they'd have to worry about Jeff. They wouldn't have to worry about Jeff.
That's
Jeff, is that for the MLTA group?
Yes, okay. MLTA.
Is that a meeting or something like that they're doing? Is
yeah,
that
it's
meeting?
A spring, it's their spring conference. Spring conference, or it's actually in St. Cloud.
It's in St. Cloud, and it's, is it a Monday? I think it's Monday, April the 6th. And we're on the agenda. I don't remember what time. But.
And I know they tie this into some of their education groups as well. So, but yes, there's spring conference.
Yep, and I think we just will share with them what we're doing and where we're at, and ask for their continued support and their willingness to start using it once we get the standards adopted.
And sorry to interrupt, but the group is pretty familiar with the ERERC. The only reason I'm thinking is that there was some presentations that. The Office of Secretary of State sent over with information, kind of like a what's about the task force group and stuff like that. So I was thinking, well, that might be helpful if you need to give some sort of presentation type of material as kind of background. But if they already know, it might not be necessary.
Just, again, Jeff is here actually representing that particular group because they are the one that made the recommendation for the appointment of the position that Jeff is holding on the commission.
Mm-hmm.
And on the previous task forces, they've had numerous members, and they've had two different associations that have melded together here over the last couple of years into one, and many of their members have been very active in activities on the trusted submitter committees. There's been a number of their members, so they've been kind of an ongoing participant all along.
Okay.
But if you have something, if you could email it out to
absolutely.
Me, because we may have to do just even a two-minute quick review of for people who don't know as to what the group is, what we're doing, why.
Mm-hmm. I'll be happy to send it to both of you.
Okay,
so.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Very good. Any other questions, anybody, for Jeff on that? Why don't we go on to the County Recorder Group, and I'm going to fill in a little bit, and then I'm going to probably call on Chris because we've got Pam Trombo, who is not able to be with us today. Again, you know, these private sector people that seemingly have to make money in order to pay the bills, and they have to sometimes satisfy customer needs, has taken her away from being able to be with us. But I know there have been meetings this past month that Pam has had with the recorder group, and Larry and Chris are the two that have been spearheading that. And I'm going to maybe ask you, Chris, if you want to just give us at least a little bit of an update.
Sure. We had met because Pam had some questions regarding document typing as far as most of them need, all of them need the CREA elements that are required, but there might be some additional Minnesota elements that might be required. Some of the discussion centered around purchase price of documents and how would you submit that in order to figure out do you have a mortgage registry tax or how will the ECRD information appear upon the deed, how will the it was from what would a submitter want rendered back to them to what would county recorders need given to them in order to file the documents, I guess, to be very basic. And we had gone through and did some troubleshooting, and Pam had put together the documents to be sent up to the vendors to review and Bill just informed me
He got that email this morning. I have not yet seen that email. I'm sure I got CC'd on it, but I was on the road at 9 o'clock this morning, so I haven't had a chance to check my email. And once that the vendors take a look at it and get back to us, then we will proceed from there and take a look at probably the recorder statement. I'll look at it to see if we have any issues, and I'm sure MLCA.
Now, Chris, when you mentioned vendors, you're really talking about vendors that have indexing systems that counties use.
That's correct.
And deal with that, not necessarily vendors who are submitting.
That's correct,
at that
yes.
point. And
yes,
just
about
for
indexing.
Those of you in the audience know what we're what we're talking about
yeah,
here in
the
that sense.
Systems. Yes.
We want to make certain that if we've missed something on what would be elements to come in that are now indexed in recording systems, that we haven't missed something, and we kind of want people like Bill and his company and Fiddler and WCI and any of those others that are around the state of Minnesota to make sure that we haven't missed something, or if we've overlooked something, what else should be included and that type of a review. So that's good. I'm glad that's gotten out for that type of look in advance. One of the things that I guess I have learned as I've heard the reviews that have been going on is that my dream was that we would have this before the commission here about now, and we'd probably be ready to do this by summer. That's probably not necessarily going to be possible by the first part of June or July at this point. I am hoping we're still going to have some standards for us to be looking at here at the commission in the spring and be able to get out for comment for people as soon thereafter as possible. So it may be a little further into the summer before perhaps final standards are approved, but I'm hoping that we can move that along as quickly as possible. But
I think that's about this close. We're almost.
Yeah.
We're looking for comments now. So
as I say, Mike, once they have gone through the steps that they got to, I mean, next month this time, we ought to be able to see it, correct?
Absolutely.
And then by May, we surely should be able to approve it.
Well, I am hoping that if we have information here by next month that we would have as a commission, I think we need to take some steps to formally submit it out for comment to others. We don't have to follow the Administrative Procedures Act, but I do think it bears a review by any of those that might have an interest and give them the time to, you know, study it, look at it, submit comments, suggestions to us, and we can talk about how much time is appropriate and necessary. And I don't know that I have made up my own mind on what that would be, and I'm certainly open to input and suggestion on that. But I think we want to make certain that we've provided the opportunity for that, because I don't want to have to use the Administrative Procedures Act in the future. But if we don't provide an adequate opportunity for people to give input, we run the risk that others might claim that we should in the future have to do that.
So what, this is just a question. I'm not saying that isn't all necessary. So what other entities do we need to put it out there to see if we have done the vendors? And
I think we've got submitters. We want to have submitters. We want to have companies that prepare schema for submission and documents for submitters for them to have an opportunity to review and look at it, to comment, to ask suggestions if we need to tweak it and that sort of thing. And I'm guessing that even if we said a short period to me would be a month, but even if we said a month, you're going to get comments back, and then there needs to be a review by the technical committee and those people with the suggestions that have come in, and possibly some updating and that sort of thing for a final review and what have you. I think as I review it, we've got the auditor treasurers that are meeting in June and the recorders that are meeting in June, you know, and I think that would be an opportunity for them to, you know, give a final review on some of those things as well.
Well, I was hoping we could just have the final done so that they got that information in June.
Well,
that was my goal, is to use that opportunity to as an educational tool that this is ready to go. And
my question then would be to, for our subcommittee, would we be looking at reviewing it for the recorders, or to bring in monastery as the more important steward.
Well, some of the rest of you weigh in on this one. I just think we need to have that opportunity for people to review it. And again, how long and how much time that'll take, I'm open. You know, if you want to talk about that now, we can do that, or we can put it off until we've got something to review. So,
I would think that, you know, that's more of a technical question, and I would suspect that recorders would simply say, "Well, all my vendors to look at this."
Right.
Tell me if it's going to work. So, as long as it's moving the rock forward, I'm sure the recorders could care less how we do the mechanics and the covers.
You know, my personal feeling is if the recorders created, a recorder subcommittee created the details that we need to have our job function, and the vendors have looked at it, I do believe we need to have the submitters have a chance to view what it is we're requesting that they send in. But most of it's technology that I don't understand.
Mm-hmm. One thing,
I mean, my vendor has to say, is this possible?
The one thing that the commission will have to decide is the subcommittee can make a recommendation on document types to be submitted, and then on that end, people can expand on those if they so choose. So just know that part of it, that will be coming.
And that's an education piece.
Right.
And that's what I'm saying, and that was where I was coming from as far as the conferences of the auditor, treasurer, and the recorder is that we have some kind of opportunity here to be sure that we have all large percentage of counties in the same place at the same time to educate, and if we're still open to input at that time, we can't educate. That, I guess that's was my goal, was that at that point we can say this is the way it's going to be done, this is the standards that have been set, this is what your vendor will need to know or do, or, you know, because basically we're just setting up the standards for those documents,
right.
Not the standards for Well, the standards for the documents create the standard for procedure. I understand that. But, I mean, we're not creating a new system coming in. We're not creating anything except elements that we want, correct?
Exactly. It's just
right.
The document elements, the basic document elements that need to be there in order to get your document electronically, your model to it.
And let's just assume that we've got something like that at the commission meeting in the month of April. And let's assume that from there the commission were to make a decision to send it out for comment from those that were interested parties. The question to me gets to be, how long is a reasonable time to permit comment and suggestions? And Bob, I may just turn to you. Have you had experience with that in the state in any of those areas?
Yeah. I think we've had some experience similarly. What I was going to suggest is that we'd be a little generous on that, because this should be familiar, but I think there's always a kind of relearning curve that people go through and understand the implications of it. Unless there's some other pressing need to implement it right away, I'd suggest maybe following along with what Mike has said, is that we give people a chance to look it over, and also give ourselves a chance to respond to any kind of comments that they make. Mm-hmm. I mean, virtually everything we've done, and this commission has done in the past, seems to me we've gotten into, not trouble, but we've had some conflicts when we've assumed that everybody was on board and not given them a chance to voice their opinion. So mm-hmm. I think it's safer just to let everybody, since there are so many different constituencies out there.
Mm-hmm. So am I hearing that you're going to, the commission may want this put out to all interested parties for comment for a certain period of time?
And where do we host that then?
We have a website.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, we can host it on the website here, but I think we can also identify, you know, the interested parties in terms of just the makeup of the commission itself. You've got that group of interested parties and any particular submitting vendors that, you know, have been following along or have been involved. There's some in the room here that I'm sure would be very interested and will probably offer a review and comment and suggestion if there's something that we've got there.
And if you put too tight a deadline on it, then you're not taking into account everybody else's schedules as well.
Right. Right.
Okay. Out of curiosity, what type of deadline are you suggesting?
I was following, I think what Michael was talking about is about a 2 or 3 month process.
Well, I was thinking, you know, if you if you set up a timeline, let's say, and I don't know what the meeting date is in the month of April, but, you know, let's say it's the same day as today, you probably need to leave it out there, in my judgment, at least for 6 to 8 weeks for comment. I mean, I a lot of the Administrative Procedure Act time frames are 3, 4, I've seen 6 months on some of them for people to comment, and I don't like that, but I think something in the 6 to 8 week range. And Diane, have you seen those sorts of things in the state? One time I wish we had Bert here to ask that question about how long.
Not a lot of experience with it so far. Yeah.
Sally, I don't know if you've had any experience with any of that, the state. Eileen,
sometimes they're as short as 30 days. A lot of it has to do with the complexity of what needs to be reviewed, which would be my question. Is this a big deal, or is it pretty much what we've had before with a few tweaks?
It's the same elements, but they're necessary in a paper doc. It's just that we are going to set the standard that they have to be in an electronic document. They're already required in a paper document.
And sometimes if you give people too much of a window, they don't ever get around to it, too.
I mean, we're not asking for anything that isn't already on a paper document. We have not created any new elements.
And isn't pretty much everybody who's interested in the room or represented by someone who's in the room?
Yeah, but they have to farm it out. I mean,
they may have to farm it out to their technical people to review and what's their time schedule and that sort of thing. And I... here had been kind of my readjusting my own thinking, because I was thinking much more needed. It would be nice to have it in place when the various groups were meeting in June. But if that's not possible, it would be very nice to have what we had from feedback from people and what we thought was, you know, something that the commission was going to be able to consider and act formally on at those meetings in June with the auditor treasurers. And that perhaps then in the month of July, the final approval meeting for the commission could take place and hopefully have those. I'm sort of thinking that's about as fast as you can do it if you're going to permit time for review of the comments coming back from any of the organizations. And if there has to be, you know, a review and a change and a modification and, you know, getting the various groups together, that's going to take a little time as well. And, you know, I think... You know, we can see what we get. I suppose just knowing human nature, in some cases, if you put it out for a one-month comment period, you're going to get most of your comments back in the last week. If you put it out for two months, you're going to get it in the last week. I mean, you know,
first 2 days and the last 2 days.
But again, it's just what's a reasonable timeline to have it out there. Well, let me suggest this. Let's have a chat with Bert Black about that from the Secretary of State's office, or...
Oh, let's not. I know what he's going to say.
Well, if you say post it for 30 days and then you give us another 30 days...
To review and to respond.
We can consider it at that point.
Yeah, that's May.
To see what feedback, if any, we've gotten.
That's June.
If we need to extend or reconsider, we can do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And my only reason why is I don't want to become a liar. I kept telling people this was going to be ready by June.
You didn't tell them what year, though, did you?
No.
but at some point,
I want to retire, and I want to see a deed recorded before I retire.
and I really thought from my side, really my submission out would be in kind of in two parts. It'd be one, the technology file to the simple file, people, NGO, that type of thing, that our technology, but really as well to the MLTA people to say, here's all of these documents. They're going to fit into one of these broad, four broad categories. Does this make sense to you? Now, I haven't, honestly, I haven't really thought about sending off to the document prep, but, you know, I certainly could do that as well to any document companies that we know of or can list out and get their comments as well. So, I mean, that's kind of how I thought I saw what I would do with this group. That's a pretty, you know, with the MLTA, that's going to be pretty broad, a lot of people. But, you know, the Trusted Submitter group is not very large.
No.
And it's things that they've
and
dealt.
Most of them have been tracking and know we're doing and working on
it's,
things.
Honestly, it's mostly just minor adjustments to what we've been working with already. So I don't think it's wholesale adjustments.
You're basically making optional fields required fields. They're all there.
Right. I don't think we're coming up with anything that people don't already know about. Yeah. It's just the decision of which are going to be mandatory and which are still going to be optional. I mean, you're right.
There are a few technical groups on either submission or reception side that have to know that. You know, today there aren't that many that are coming to the state. I mean, send it to everybody, but the critical ones are certainly going to be.
There's nothing that we are going to be requiring that isn't already required to record a document.
And it's just some mapping of information, right. I think, like where the ECRV, which is new, where that's going to go. That's about, you know. Yeah.
I can see where, because there are private parties involved, if there are some of us that know about it that are invited to participate and we don't make it public for comment, there will be some down a year down the road that said, well, why couldn't I? Mm-hmm. You know, it's this year. So at least there probably will not be any more, but even giving them that option.
Right.
But they've always got the option to come to. I mean, as far as that goes, we've got the website, we've got minutes. Any interested parties that do know about things, are curious about them, still have that availability, right? Because it still will probably be hosted on the website.
Yep.
So,
Right.
And just one other perspective out of that, because we're operating in multiple states, and other states have already approved multiple doc types, for example, Clark County, Nevada, where Las Vegas is, we're already up and running with 198 doc types. So technology-wise, we're already ready. That's not a concern. Mm-hmm. We want to map to what the committee recommends, and we have submitters that are asking us every day, win. So they're very anxious because they see the value of the technology. So there's one more perspective. For us, it's not a technology question at all. It's just adhering to the standards.
Mm-hmm. So just more reason why the review time doesn't have to be lengthy. Relatively short to you.
Well, then why don't we hope to shoot for next month to receive the committee report and to look at the possibility of then taking that and submitting it out for comment and look at a period of about, say, a month or 30 days, something in that range, for comments to come back in, and let's take a look at what that would do on a calendar. What I was thinking, and maybe it still is possible, is that we might reschedule our June meeting to sometime in July, and that might be when the final thing were to take place, because the auditor-treasurers meet the week before the recorders do.
And then we have that last week in June in which we could...
That's the week. Is that the week of...
Before the 4th.
Before the 4th? Okay.
And then it would still be in June.
Okay.
I think we're supposed to meet on the 25th of June.
It is.
Yes, we are scheduled for that
for
day.
Sure
the problem
the
is, recorders have their conference that day, Bob.
So you want to meet in the next week.
And the auditors have their conference the week before.
Okay.
That's what we haven't, it's not on the agenda, but you know, we may
so
have
what
to.
Would that push us to? What day?
Well, if it's a Thursday, it would be Thursday the 2nd.
We'll make Janine a liar one way or another.
Okay.
I will have accomplished my goal if I've pushed it along to the 2nd of July.
Well, and then, I mean, realistically, we're looking at 2nd. That's huge vacation weeks.
And that is that a problem? I guess that I...
One more suggestion along the line of what Janina said. Instead of moving it backwards, how about forward? Because I really do like the education component, where if you did have a meeting before the auditor treasurers and the recorders meet, then it could be informative instead of reactive.
I'm okay. I mean, that's a...
So we put it out in April. We should have all the comments back by the same time in May. Mm-hmm. That would give us a couple weeks. I don't know what the date is, 2 weeks ahead of the 25th.
Well, we meet on 21st of May. Okay. And then if you say 2 weeks after that to have everything sorted out would be the 4th.
Okay, but how about the week after that?
The 11th of June.
The 11th of June?
18th of June.
Or 18th of June.
Huh?
The 18th of June is the 3rd week.
And that's the auditor treasurer's conference that week. And I'm just concerned that you're cutting it pretty short if you're going to try and move it up to the 11th. I mean,
well, that's 3 weeks, Mike.
What's 3 weeks?
From the time we close for comment.
Well, when's our meeting in April?
April 16th.
Okay. So we put it out for 30 days?
He said May 18th or something like that.
May 21st.
21st. Then that would give us 3 weeks to go over the comments before the meeting.
Okay. We will have back comments by the May meeting then. Just because of the way the dates fall, if we were able to get the information out following the April meeting, if we gave 30 days for comments to come back in, depending on what we hear, we would have those comments back by the time the May meeting came in, and then we can make a decision if we were to schedule a meeting, say that 2nd Thursday in June. And what day is that?
11.
Well, that's a Metro Prep meeting day, but.
That's
in the morning, and we'll just have to adjust some other things then. But if we were to meet on the 11th, we'll at least schedule a June meeting on the 11th, and we'll see where we're at based on the comments and whatever type of tweaking maybe needs to happen, and maybe we will be able to take formal action at that time.
And
if not, we can adjust based on where we're at.
And that's what I would say. I mean, I'd like to see that we could take formal action, but if there's so many comments that need addressed, then I truly understand that we can't take formal action then. I have
a concern about moving it to the 2nd of July, just thinking about that week. I mean, that's Friday the 3rd is probably the legal holiday, so there'll be a lot of government offices closed on that Friday, and I know how popular I will be if we were to schedule it that Thursday afternoon before the long holiday weekend. And I know better than to do that.
Probably be a short meeting.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we do want to. No, I think we'd be better off at least to schedule a June meeting then for earlier in June. I'm certainly fine with that, and we'll just see where we're at.
And that gives us about 34 days between the April 16th and the May 21st. So as long as we get it, we turn it out right away,
right.
And say 30 days, it's plenty of time.
It's not, for posting to the website, I'm sure it's not going to be that difficult for us. Would it be possible to have an intro, some sort of explanation of it to be written up, instead of just posting the documents, that we can have some sort of...
Mm-hmm. I would guess that our subcommittee will do that. Well, they will have a presentation when they submit it to us anyway, so it probably will be similar to what we would see.
Can I ask, then on the comments, how do you envision that? I mean, we can ask people to respond back to the LCC, back to me. And I can just collect those and then give them...
We can set it up so they can respond just on our web.
Oh, okay, right on the web.
Okay. I think that would be very helpful.
Okay. We've done it before with other things.
But we could also refer back to the members if people have questions or something like that, concerns. Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You're going to be flooded with calls. Queries, didn't you know that?
Like, I'll be able to answer any of them.
We can only hope, is what I'm saying.
I'm just going to put transfer on all my calls to you. You can hear all the other lovely business that we do. Claims.
Well, the other thing, and I hadn't thought about this, but I do think we need to be fair here to staff as I'm thinking about what's going on in the month of May here at the legislature. Is that going to be a problem for you all?
We don't know until it comes up to the, I mean, the 20th. What's it, 20th?
Well, unless there's a special session.
Unless there's a special session.
What, 19th of May is the adjournment 19th, date?
Yeah, it's at the Monday.
The first adjournment date is the 19th of May. And then we'll see where we go from there.
Mm-hmm.
And our meeting is what day then?
21st.
21st?
Yep, it's 21st. It's.
You'll all be awake from that by then.
Oh, it's actually busier now for us, I think.
We'll be fine. Then.
We'll be fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I just wanted to make sure that didn't create, I hadn't thought about that, but I know what May is like for those that are involved with the legislature, and that's kind of the showdown time. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's good. Well, then let's go with that. People are comfortable with that?
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Ryan, you got any thoughts on that?
No, that's fine with me.
Sounds good. Then, next item on the agenda was we were trying to get the Minnesota Department of Health to join us to kind of give us a little update on where we're at with the well disclosure statement. And we find that most of the folks are out of town this week, and I think I'm going to call on Kay to give us an update at that point. At this point,
You know, everybody knows how their schedules get very busy, and you know, too much information, and you just get too busy and lose track of things. And so it has nothing to do with my age; it has everything to do with just being very busy. I think we had a communication gap, but I think they're coming next month instead. I don't know if they responded. I responded, emailed them this morning before I left town to connect. They are at a conference. They're having a meeting, and I think that's where things got kind of messed up. So they should be coming to the next meeting in April. They're very far along on the project. They reported out at our conference in January. What the status was, that basically we've done some testing on the system, and it's just a matter of picking out the county and going ahead with it and getting a spot on the deed with the uniform conveyancing blanks to put the well certificate number. Otherwise, it seems to be all pretty well in place. They've eliminated the drawing part of the sketch map, where I think you're just putting in basically just some lines one way or another to show where the well would be. So it simplifies the drawing of the map extensively. So that's what they'll report on, but they've really moved fast on it.
You mean they're not going to have a tree?
No,
10 feet no, south no. of the tree?
Yeah. Might have a house and an axe or something. Probably, you know, right now, we do pretty much stick figures and axes. So. But they've really come along far on it, and I think they need to show off a little bit on it too. So they should be here next month. I'll definitely.
Good.
Clean up.
That'll be the tree from the acorn right. that we're going to plant next month.
It's usually so many feet from the porch corner.
Kay, thank you for doing a little follow-up on that. And, if there's anything we can do to help spur a little competition between revenue and health on their engagement of this, I think it would be fine. Because, in all honesty, when health showed us this last summer, they were going to start having this live and available by fall. And it's taken a little longer, as I find with most technology projects, a little longer than most of us who are not the technology experts tend to think they should. And it's just another example of one that falls into that category. But I think it'll be great to get them to come and give us kind of an update, and we can kind of encourage them and spur them on to bring that back to their leadership too, because this is an important item to get taken care of. So Other business that I've got listed down here for the agenda, we've got a meeting that we had with the Minnesota Department of Revenue. We had a good session with them, and I'm going to call on, I guess there's a couple of us in the room. Eileen was there, and Bill Morey was there. Janelle Weiss was there, representing Jeff and the MLTA folks. I was present. Terry Bulver, again, couldn't make, or she, pardon me. Terry was there.
She was going to be there.
She had to, she called, yeah, that was the first meeting she had to miss because of the stimulus package thing that she got dragged into here in terms of what they've been working on at U.S. Bank, so she wasn't able to make that meeting. And then we also had the Hennepin County Assessor, Tom May, joined us as well, as Tom had been meeting with revenue people about this topic about a week and a half before we had our commission meeting. So I asked him to tag along also, and so he could hear what was going on. I thought we had at least a good meeting. We certainly had a lot of people there from revenue. They had a number of their technology people. Jason was there, who had given us our presentation. We had the commissioner's representative and assistant commissioner and a number of other higher-ups within the department, as well as the technology worker bees. And there was clearly a comment to us that this was now the number two project in the department from a technology development point of view. The only thing of a higher priority was this something to do with income taxes. I don't know why that would have a higher priority than something of what we're interested in, but seemingly that was at a higher level. So that was certainly encouraging. It was real clear that this is something new for them. They've struggled with it in terms of how they handle electronic communications back and forth between parties and their firewall issues and their security issues that they have probably concentrated more on because they are a revenue agency. They do deal with private information, social security numbers, and this sort of thing, and that's always been kind of their mission and high priority. And now all of a sudden we've got this desire and need to electronically communicate back and forth, and how they're going to protect and deal with all that, I think, is what they have struggled with. They did share with us a lot about the testing that they've been doing down in Dakota County, and they thought things had moved along well, and that they had a meeting scheduled the next day in Hennepin County, of which I was at. That was a good meeting as well, although we didn't really cover anything at Hennepin other than what we all saw at the demonstration here, where Jason went through the demonstration for all the county people, a lot of our technology folks, people from the auditor's office, from my recording office, and some others from within the county that wanted to see what this was all about. So that was kind of what went on. I think there was a commitment from the state people to move this forward. There was one comment that did give me a little pause for concern, and somebody told me maybe I overreacted too quickly on, was Gordon Falkman was talking about there was an issue for the future of how do we maintain this program and system, and that they may be coming back to the county for money on that. And I kind of just said, no, you're not going to, because there isn't going to be any more money coming from the county, and that the state needs to find a way to maintain this themselves. I did make a suggestion that they might consider making this information from the CRBs electronically available to customers, and they might get a revenue stream from that, that there was certainly a customer base that would be willing to pay reasonable fees to get access to that information. And I did tell them that in Hennepin County, the day they go live with that system, we in Hennepin do not take the CRBs and make them, we don't image them, we don't put them in any index that we make available to customers. We take the paper copy, we put it out on a table, and anybody that wants to come in can have access to that paper certificate. They can write down information, they can make a copy of it, and that sort of thing. And that's where Finance and Commerce gets their information, and the others that gather the information that appears in your Saturday home section for the sale price. And I was kind of surprised at the reaction to the comment about they could take it and sell it was, well, we're not sure we could charge for that. And you know, we've never done that sort of thing before. And I'm sort of thinking, well, you always have come back to the counties for money and you can't do that thing anymore. So we hope to help educate them to think otherwise. But that was the only item that I guess I had a pause, and maybe it was because I was a little too close to that issue, knowing what my bosses would say about them wanting more money from the counties when you consider how much they already collect in recording fees that we send to the state and deed tax that we send to the state and mortgage registry tax that we send to the state. And now they want maintenance fees for a CRV, which is for them. Anyway, that was the item. Eileen told a beautiful story that I thought was just classic, that one of her law students who works in a law firm has to use this thing called a typewriter. Really hadn't been familiar with her growing up about a typewriter, and it was back in the real estate section, and it wasn't always working, and they needed to have something to be able to get rid of it. And I can't tell the story. Eileen, you just...
Well, she's a legal assistant who goes to Mitchell, and she was just saying that those things are so awful. First of all, you have to track the forms down from revenue. And then if you make a typographical error, you have to start over because you're typing in triplicate. And then you have to print out 3 copies of the legal description and attach them. And she was kind of going through all these burdensome mechanics that I had forgotten about since I stopped practicing years ago. So I just brought that up. What I thought was kind of surprising was that guy at the end who said, you know, essentially, that's all wrong. You could have been turning in Word Perfect or Word documents all the time. And it's like, what? No.
Well, I don't think
not
anybody
true.
Knew. Oh, okay.
Not true.
Because I don't think anybody knew that.
Well, I don't think it is true.
The department never told them they could.
Well, no, yeah, people at Revenue told the guy he was wrong, which kind of led me to wonder how much anybody understands about what these forms are or how archaic it is. You know, you can't find parts for the typewriters anymore because they're not manufacturing them. And so, but I thought that was kind of telling. I mean, maybe part of the reason they're so slow doing this and seem less than responsive is that they're not, all of them, clear on what it is they're requiring. So, anyway, I thought it was interesting.
How about the rollout schedule? Is that still the same as it was during the presentation?
That, in my mind, was the killer factor of what we heard. They said something like the schedule that they are on would have one county going, one or two counties going by June, July timeframe, and maybe 3 by the end of the year.
Yeah.
And that's when red things started appearing on my face. I think I attribute to something that Mike alluded to, which is I think they're just a little bit technically, I'll use the word paranoid, about you know, opening their websites, opening up their internal systems to junkie public. I think they have this great fear that as soon as they do, that somebody from Al-Qaeda is going to, you know, come in and grab all of their and destroy their whole database or something. And I think it's just out of not having ever done that before. I mean, I'm truly hoping we can turn the heat up on that a little bit.
Who do you want me to call?
Maury's name on that watch list that we got for that terrorist group?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was just very, very, that was the most disheartening thing of the whole meeting that I thought. Not in tune with what our needs are, and I thought that we did a pretty good job. Mike did a very good job, I thought, of expressing the urgency of what they're really doing to us by holding it up, that they are the final document that's keeping us from this dam of recording to break loose and let go. And then Eileen's story about the typewriter kind of added frosting on the cake.
I have a question for you again, and I truly should understand this better. But is it, once it has been done in one county, once it's been piloted in one county, is it a big issue to open it up to other counties?
Well, I think that each vendor will certainly need to understand how to do that, and we'll have to have time to do that. But mechanically, it's the same thing.
Okay, well, then
we just have to get the rules down on what's going to be required to do with this thing once we do. And get that piloted in a hurry so that we can get that word out to the appropriate vendors No.
Once you're in one county,
you're in all counties for the same vendor.
Okay, for the same vendor. Okay, right. That's what I was going to say. So if we put our bulldogs of those vendors with the Department of Revenue to shake a few things up, we should be able to move it along a lot faster than three counties in December, correct?
Well, let me kind of give a little background of what I learned the day after we had the meeting with Revenue. That is really the, and maybe I was a little naive and didn't understand this, because I didn't going into the meeting that we had at Hennepin County on Friday. Apparently a lot of the testing they've been doing with Dakota County over the last 10 months on this form certainly has had very little to do with what we need relative to the issue of recording. Mm-hmm. It's been meeting with the assessors folks and meeting with their technology folks of how the form is used by county assessors to help them do the job they're supposed to do of assessing property, doing sales ratio studies at the county level, and for the state people to do all of this. Now, that's not information that we deal with from an auditor or a recorder's perspective whatsoever, but it's the back-end operation that all of the county assessors have to have and deal with in terms of setting valuations for property taxes. So when they laid out the schedule that they came over to meet with Hennepin County, they had a suggested schedule with us. And Sherry, I'm going to call you to help me remember here, but they wanted us to perhaps start doing some testing with them here by towards the end of April or early May.
Yep, first week of May.
And they were hoping that we could work things out with putting together a project plan to deal with the process issues in Hennepin County. And it really is the Hennepin County auditor, but that's a minor piece compared to what the assessor needs. And they were really looking at what they thought was a very optimistic schedule by, and what was the date, sometime the end of September?
It was August.
Was it August to go live, or?
No, you're right, it was September.
We were doing some testing in August, but I think some live activity, not until September. And of course, I kind of swallowed hard when I was hearing this and thinking, well, that isn't what I was thinking, and that isn't what we had been thinking. And then what became clear as our assessor's office people started asking all these questions about, well, there's this thing called an auditor's number, and there's this thing called how are we going to get this, because we use this for this information, the assessor now talking about how they use the information off this CRB to do their work processes. And I've not ever, you know, looked at that. But that's a critical item for them. And then what I'm understanding in every county right now, they are requiring county staff to key in the information off the paper form into some electronic database. And I've got all sorts of questions about that. I don't know if it's a common database or if each county has their own.
Well, it's the Department of Revenue's
database. It is. And so they're all keying it into the same thing. Okay. And now the question is going to get to be, how are the county people going to access that information? And that became very clear in the discussion that Revenue isn't sure that they can open up everything to the assessor's people for what they needed, and there was some issues there that I wasn't fully tracking that are going to get to be problems, or at least I see issues that are going to create problems. So we kind of have been thinking, and the recorder group that met beforehand kind of said, well, you know, what the assessors do and how they use the information on their back end, we don't want it to hold up the ability to electronically record everything else, because really all we need to have for the ability to record is we need to know on a deed what's the sale price so we can calculate deed tax, a necessary element in order to move it ahead, and we need to have that CRV electronic number that the Department of Revenue will assign to it once you've submitted it electronically. And then for some, and this is the one that's debatable, do we need to have the name information so that we can compare it to the grantor or grantee on the so-called electronic submission from the deed? But we don't need to have the legal description, because we're not going to require legals as part of the standard that Chris and that group are working on. And do we need anything more than that? And what the assessors need, their back-end office, we don't care. And would we be able to still move forward with that piece, and then how the assessors deal with their end of it is not necessary for us.
I got a solution for the state and the assessors. They can subscribe to that report that you said the Department of Revenue can sell to the people who look at the paper. Correct? I mean, that's the same information they want is what's on the paper. Now, maybe the county gets it for free, but it's the same report.
I think it could even be before that. If we, the vendors, go out to the Department of Revenue and ping them and bring down the document in either a XML or PDF format, do what needs to be done for the recorders and move that recording process on, we'll drop the thing into an email to the assessor's office, and they'll have the original document just like they had the paper. It'll be the same thing.
But the other issue gets to be, how is the customer going to get access to that information? The public customer now, how are they going to get access to that information?
The assessor's going to print it off and lay it on the table.
Well, I mean, I was kind of thinking along the same lines, but maybe not email, but that at that point, paper it out at that
paper
point.
If your
assessor's online, you don't have to paper it out. But if your assessor isn't ready, when you take that e-recording, you could print out that CRV and print it out, and they would get it like they normally would.
At the same time that we're looking to see that it's been filed, we could print it out.
Yeah, you could, and when you received it in.
Right.
You could print out that very, which kind of led to one of Pam's questions was, I mean, if you had that number for anyone, say you have that CREV number, can you type that in, and how can virtually anyone type that number in and pull up
they
that
data?
They
should be able to. They should
as
be
long
able
as they have that
they should,
unique number.
The state should be able to put it on a site. The electronic form on the site.
Mm-hmm.
And then the assessor should be able to get that number and look at it when the deed comes in.
You're all way ahead of the Department of Revenue.
Well, then it's a problem.
We'll pull it down and give it to the assessor.
Why don't they talk to the Department of Health? Because that's what the wells are doing.
And I know, Bill, you said that we can pull it from, you'll ping it. I'm looking at the customer, the real estate agent that comes in, the private assessor or appraiser that comes in and wants to know the information that's on there. They should be able to have a website that they can take the number that they find on that deed, the last deed of record, and punch it in there and see that information. And all they have to do is store that on a... All they have to do is store page one on a separate site, then they store page three, which is exactly what we do now. We put page one out on the table, and we send page three to the Department of Health and the Department of Revenue. It isn't, that part is not rocket science anymore.
Well, it's even less if you simply paper it out as soon as we get it and put it on the table.
And I understand that, but at some point we would like to see the back ends of those offices go electronic. We'd like to see them have the ability to search things out electronically.
And that's fine,
and that's
for what we're doing here, you just don't want to, I would just hope that we wouldn't let any of those things stand in the way
Correct.
Of moving forward with electronic recording.
Correct. So. At this point, we could do paper without any problem.
And I don't know, will the Department of Revenue allow a vendor to ping and print off? I mean, I think they're so secure.
That's why you're way ahead of where revenue's at.
I think that's you know, I think the way around it is the verification process through the county somehow, whatever, and then having that website, the separate website for people, the assessor to go in with their code to view the stuff, and maybe a subscription website for the business partners that Mike's talking about. You know, the real estate agents or the appraisers.
But look at. Say we're, and I don't remember from the presentation, we go in, we create our CRV, we print it out, and we need to make an adjustment to it. Do we go back, can't we just put that number back in and make, or do we have to create a whole new one, or that's what I'm wondering. I don't remember that. I
don't
Once
you submitted it, if it's done in error, you'd have to redo a new form. The old one would then just not ever be used on the deed, and it'll then, however long they're going to maintain it, but.
Sure. Well, then it expires.
So then there's no way. Well, I see. Then it gets to the point of, is there access at any point that it renders almost something that looked like the old one?
They're not looking at this point, and they're not prepared, and they haven't even thought about how to make that information yet available to the public. That's what I read, Bill and Eileen, at that meeting we had with them. And it became even more clear at the meeting that we had with the county folks the following day that they're not even thinking in those areas right yet. But that's going to be a big issue right away, and I want to transfer that responsibility out of the Department of Revenue. That's their form, it's their baby, it's their data, it's their information, and they should be the ones where the public goes to get access to it.
How many does anyone have any sense of how many different types of systems that auditor, treasurer, assessors have throughout the state? Like, I mean, we have for the recorders, there's essentially, you know, 4-5 in total. Is it kind of the same for that group?
I would guess that's true. Okay. Yeah.
There are
Ryan, how many different tax systems are there around the state? Would you guess?
Well, hopefully that changes here soon. Although that rollout schedule keeps floating right on down the stream as well. You know, we're probably in that same range, that 5 to 6 area.
Hasn't ACS been the big vendor around the state up until this transition to Manatron?
Well, that's a transition that keeps getting pushed back.
Ah, okay.
But, yeah, that was probably, I think there were 46 counties were on ACS.
Okay.
And then you have Chad Swanson's group with the TPI. Then you have, there's a northern group. And then I believe a couple of metro counties have their own systems altogether.
Right. Hennepin's one of them, for example, yep. And Manatron has, what, about 30, is it, Ryan?
Right around 30 right now.
Okay, and they're rolling out at different times this year, as I understand. Is that right?
Yep. They should be starting rollouts here shortly. I noticed they're seeking some additional pilot counties right now.
And are they going to be rolling out this summer or before?
I don't know if you're going to see it that quick. I know for Becker County, we're scheduled for next June.
June of 2010?
I take it back. No, I take it this coming June. I'm losing my mind a little bit here.
June of 2009?
Yes.
Because I had a vendor tell me that Scott County was going online in April of this year, next month?
Yep.
Is that possible?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just beginning to ask myself, what issues is that going to present in terms of rolling that out? Because now that enters the realm of auditors changing their tax system at the same time you're going to roll out a... Oh, my. Well, we'll talk about that and see where that's at.
Yeah, it'll... There is really, it's just like life in general. Is there really a good time for anything?
but
you look at this whole election stuff. It kind of makes you think back when you first had children. You wonder yourself, what did you do with your time before this? Come on. Before the election came along, what did I do with my time?
I thought you were going to say, how did I ever get into this mess?
Well, so worst-case scenario then for us is at year-end we'd have 3 counties that would be able to be up and running for deeds. I mean, right? We'd still be able to take the other document types. Nobody would split a package, right? Nobody's going to send the rest of the package this way and deed this way, but REFA, you know.
But once we
still do REFAs, but... Yeah.
Once we expand to the new standards that we set up, even though the CRV is not ready to go, but once we approve the set standards, we can move on to other documents, correct? Like powers of attorneys and and
you'll be able to do mortgages, powers of attorney.
I mean, we can open that all up to the other documents. I think that is another request that I've been hearing out there. Mm-hmm. Is yes, we have kind of put our heart and soul around getting this deed done, and that should be accomplished on our aspect with the standards, but held up by an outside source. We don't have any control over it, it appears. But it will also open up the ability to do mechanics liens and lots of other mm-hmm. things electronically if people should choose to, correct?
Yeah. Yep.
So that should in itself stimulate electronic filing to the point where maybe some of the pressure comes to the Department of Revenue from some other sources other than this committee. Because this committee, now although this committee has put some pressure on, and the counties have begun to say, what have we got in our return for our money, we also need some pressure from banks, other submitters to say, move it along, because you're holding up industry, right. You know. And so at least if we can get some of those other documents flowing, we can come back and show the growth of electronic recording, which is our really our goal. We know we're not going to take huge steps all of a sudden, but if we can show continued growth in submission, I guess that's my goal. I just don't want to become stagnant. I just don't want to come here and set 2 or 3 years waiting for this to take place throughout the state.
Will Revenue come here and talk to the group with our...
I thought that's something we might...
face-to-face with...
We might want to invite them next month to the meeting because it might be timely to have both they and Health here at the same time to know they're both on. But we can do that, yes. But let me share with you one last item that is a potential obstacle about this CRB that I didn't understand until we met on Friday. They're telling our county that the only way the CRB will work is if your county is using Internet Explorer 7.0 or Firefox. If you're using Microsoft's Internet Explorer 6.0, it will not work with it. And submitters can't submit it to you, and you won't be able to accept it. And you all vendors tell me what kind of problems that presents. And basically what I learned on Friday was either counties, you have to upgrade to 7.0, or B, we, Revenue, have to rewrite another version of it in Internet Explorer 6.0. And they didn't want to have to do that because that was going to cost them more money. And they thought we should all be moving to that anyway. Hennepin, for one, is not on Internet Explorer 7.0 at this point. There has been discussion in our county of moving to that as an organization, but we didn't move to it because there were so many applications that were not compatible with 7.0, so the county had made a business policy decision we weren't doing that. So that's going to be hurdle number one about whether Hennepin County is going to be able to even move ahead with it, which every county is going to face, and every county is probably at a different point on the technology scale, and I venture to guess many of you don't know what level you're all at on whatever product that you use, but I was reading today that what Microsoft is introducing now is an 8.0 this week, so, you know, you're going to have 8.0 here now in a matter of days, so...
But and I'm not a I don't even know what these mean, Mike, and I can't tell you what we have. But it would seem to me that there is maybe some money out there, and I'm thinking about this being very costly to large counties because the number of people you have to upgrade to. And I'm thinking about the small counties who don't upgrade very often. But is this something from Tryman or Fiddler's point of view that will cause us a problem? The 0.07?
We have another system, the integrated financial system, which is used in 80 of the 87 counties in the state. And we asked when we started the project what would be acceptable. Absolutely, 7.0 is not acceptable. So we developed the 6.0. Reason being, it's not simply a matter of just getting it out there or even any expense associated. I don't think there is an expense associated with upgrading. The issue is they have other systems that interface, and those other systems have to be prepared for that, where they are dependent on something within the browser itself, some mechanism within perhaps the Java reader or whatever it might be within the browser itself to be able to move there. I can tell you absolutely from firsthand experience, 7.0 ain't going to work in Minnesota. They're going to require that.
So then they
that's
need
a
to
big
rewrite
obstacle.
It.
But you know, they're having said that now, it would take a little technical digging to see why, what the obstacle is, because there are some counties actually that are on 7.0, and we were able to understand what pieces were needed, and we were able to work around that. I'm not promising you can work around that. I don't know what the Department of Revenue is doing with those things. My hunch would be that they're probably using the Java part of it, don't you suppose?
Technical assessment is they're gluing together parts that are not designed in unison.
Yeah.
So if it was a good code, which for $450,000 should be, you would be able to make a couple modifications. It would be very easy. My concern as I hear parts of it is that there, it feels like cut and paste glue, cut and paste glue, to try to create a project that they haven't even scoped. So the more that I hear, as a vendor, we're just completely alarmed because if this group that does not seem to have a clear mandate with intense scope creep continues to try to listen to different people and create something that's patched together, if I may, for one more minute, add incredible frustration from the vendor side, because we contacted them a year ago and said, we have done this in other states, well, 28 to be exact, and some of the states, like a Colorado, have required a public trust fee to do the very same kind of loop, a very same validation. We've done that. We're happy to show you some best in class. They said no. No, thank you. And we have been, not only is it strong-armed by way of what we think is fair by way of competition, but it's arrogant to not say we will at least engage on what is best in class under the PREA, UEDA, and your PARA standards across the nation. So the more that I hear, obviously I'm emotional, I don't understand why this is occurring. And they don't understand that their actions are not only inhibiting electronic recording, but they are creating a dam that is going to prevent vendors from coming, because Nate Jenkins named it perfectly. Our submitters don't want a parallel process. I was at a submitter's office this morning that said, you mean I'm going to prepare one document today. One I'm going to record electronically, it's done today. The next I'm going to put in the mail. Well, they're going to get to the county completely out of order. So I now have to estimate or pay a FedEx and electronic to try to get it done for what everyone else in the nation, with the exception of North Carolina, is doing correctly. So I would love to partner with this committee. I would love to partner, as we've tried to do, with multiple people, and maybe have a working session, one working session, to say, look, here's some best-in-class practices. Here's what we need. Here's some solutions. We went so far as to say, if you'll engage with us, even for us to understand, we'll even give you some advice. Our model follows the current free market model. The submitters pay to get it to the government. So we said to them, we won't charge you. And they still, strong-armed, no thanks.
I don't know if this is helpful at all, but for me, from a non-technology standpoint, just watching that meeting that day, I think you characterized it exactly right, Dallin. I think they what all they really want is the information that allows them to tax. Recording is not of interest to them. And I think that the people in that room probably have very good intentions, but you notice that assistant commissioner supervising all of this asked what's in a six-pack. I mean, there's really no understanding of what we do, and I don't know, maybe they just don't care to understand, but my guess about that is they're under such pressure to get as much as they can out of the property tax system that the recording piece just doesn't matter. And that's what I was trying to figure out sitting there, how to get their attention. Because that, you know, that guy about the Word and the Word Perfect file almost kind of said it with a sneer, like, what's wrong with you people? And I just don't know. I think they're all very well intentioned, but I don't think that's a model that's going to work for us anytime soon, unless there's some sort of intervention. And I don't know who would do it or how.
Could we throw the tea bags in the water? I mean,
legislative change?
No, well, what I meant by that is, so let's just hold up all recording for a year and see where they realize where their taxation comes from.
Yeah.
I mean, the taxation comes from who owns the property and the value of the property that grows as it sells. It doesn't come automatically. It comes out of the process of recording.
Ryan, how many months do you think we could go without paying mortgage and deed tax before we get a call from the revenue department?
About 6 hours.
Mike, I think to put it back more into a context of the issue at hand, which was the browser release level, you know, maybe we just need to understand what that requirement is, technically understand it. I'd certainly be more than glad to explore that and understand, you know, what the issue at hand is there, you know, and maybe there's a way around that. And we've dealt with it, so I'm sure other people can. My suspicion is it's simply a matter of the science. They're assuming the counties are gonna jump onto the website and look at their information
there. Right.
But maybe we can get around that by simply pulling down the document and making it available to the county so that you don't have to go through your browser to look at it at the state site. But I need to understand better that issue, and I probably also need to understand better what the assessor and auditor do with that.
Well, for example, in my county, what they would want to do is be able to go in and access the XML so that they can populate whatever we do in our county, and that's what they're going to want to do.
We can pull that down.
But I'm being told that if you don't use 7.0, you're not going to. It won't work. And they're also telling me that if we don't use 7.0, we won't be able to receive things from trusted submitters. And so my question really is, how much time, money, and effort would it be to retool their application to be able to work with a 6.0?
The only thing I can think in that case is where they're actually going in to look and display something, right? That would be the only case where
7.0 matters.
7.0 would matter. Right. Web services that you're talking about and XML feeds wouldn't. Who cares what the browser is? So I don't know why that would be an issue.
But maybe I don't understand. Yeah. And I will volunteer to see what I can find out from Department of Revenue and what it is, why it is that's an obstacle.
I have another question here as far as sending your data to them electronically, you know, from the submitter to them. Does that 7.0 make any difference there?
I don't think that's going to be a huge issue because today...
That might be.
Well, no, I think today what we have to do is we have typewriters, right? I mean, everyone would be willing to throw that typewriter out and you have one computer anyways that has 7.0, and then even if it's standalone, I don't think that would be a huge issue. If
they could there's a workaround for everything.
If they could throw that typewriter out the window, they'd be more than willing to.
Right. You know, yeah. Now, for the submitters, I can see where 7.0 would be, because there you're going to the website and keying stuff in.
Unless you think it's any integration with anything.
Here's our Dell correcting selector.
You'll see 900 bucks or something.
It seems like it's just sloppy code, and somewhere they've glued it together wrong, and so it does not seem to be a major issue, but the pattern is very concerning.
Well, it seems to me if there's free help available and a comparative approach from the other states, where is our point into revenue to get someone who will listen to that? Yeah, I think that's what we need to think about.
Well, you just have to get the right people together, in other words.
Right. And I'm not sure who they are or how we find them.
How far along is Dakota in their testing? And who's doing the pilot testing into them, do you know? The submissions in?
They're pretty far along. Yeah,
they were hoping to actually start going live in June of this year in Dakota County.
Joel, he says it's all but there.
But, I mean, who on the submitter side is going? Is it Dakota?
Burnett was doing, they've been doing testing from Burnett. And there's one other, Dakota Title.
Dakota County Abstract?
Yes, Dakota County Abstract.
DCA, okay. Mm-hmm. So
they were the two trusted submitters that they've been doing testing with.
See, I do have a question as well, just to further my education. As far as Explorer 7.0, what is the major conflict with that? Is there a security issue? Because I know that upgrading is free. You know, you can upgrade to any of the Explorer options, and Becker County, we currently use the 7.0 as well.
They're saying that their product will only work on the browser if you're using 7.0. It won't work if you're using 6.0.
But what
they also say it will work if you're using the browser of Firefox.
Right, but what would be the reason for not going to Explorer 7.0?
Internal support of the counties, right? Applications that are written for 6.0.
You've probably had applications that would not be compatible that are already in existence in your county that work on 6.0, but they don't work on 7.0, and they don't want to go through the cost of rewriting them to upgrade them. You may have systems that you're planning on replacing in the next 2 years, and rather than go to 7.0, you may say, hey, I'm going to skip it. Wait till we replace it, and then go to whatever version we've now got at that point in time and not do the transfer information change during the interim. So it'll be different in every single county. That's the problem that I see, depending on where their infrastructure is at that point in time.
Right.
And again, our experience is that moving the counties to 7.0 en masse is...
It's just not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. You know, there are dependencies in other applications, some of them homegrown.
Well, I wish they had said something about this a long time ago, because the first that I learned of this was the meeting that we had with them last Friday. I mean, they didn't say anything to us.
I want to validate this with Joel. He didn't say, because he told me when I talked to him that this worked just fine at Dakota. And I really want to hear from him, and possibly if somebody could check the submitter.
Yeah, I'll check with Joel and Richard
about that issue. And see if we can also simultaneously also pull down the document by a web service, completely bypassing the browser, the browser display, and just load it into the counties and let the assessor's office and whoever else, our treasurer, take a look at it, do what they want to it. But it's going to take a little research to figure out what the issue is here. This is brand new.
Yeah, I mean, it was to me. I was just shocked Friday when I heard this. And the technical people in the meeting that we had said, well, we need to take a look at this, and we didn't get any answers. Sherry, am I missing anything about this 6.0 in terms of our technical people? I mean, they didn't seem to react one way or the other, as far as I could tell.
No, it's a little bit of a mystery about what they thought the next steps would be.
Yeah. They just said that we're not moving to 7.0 in the immediate future, but the county's exploring what it would take to do that. They wanted to do it earlier in the year, and then all of a sudden it came to a screeching halt because they realized there were a whole lot of applications that would not be compatible with 7.0, and so it's kind of been put on the back burner. Where it's at, they didn't know, and they didn't know what it all meant, and
And a lot of times it's just checking them all out, like, you know, making sure they'll all work.
Well, and then the question that I put to Jason, I said, can we even begin to start testing with submitters? And he said, if you can't accept 6.0 or a 7.0, he said, no. So I said, we can't even start testing with submitters then? He said, no.
Only if you're looking at it.
Only if they're looking at it. Only if you guys pull it up and look at it. Otherwise.
Believe me, we'll check into it.
All right.
I love the question of who's the decision maker.
Yeah, I mean, that again, being totally on the outside of all the mechanics of this, where's the person that we can say we have free help for you? You know, Bill's willing to sort out the 6.0, 7.0 problem. Dallin's willing to show you what other states are doing. Where do we find that person?
And I love the idea of even a working brainstorm. Let's come together. Let's put this in a project plan. Let's make clear roles and responsibilities. Little teeny things like that are going to go a long way in Minnesota to move this into the 21st century. And we're already.
But I'm even saying who in revenue.
Who in revenue? That's.
But even getting stakeholders all
Jason
together.
Can't Joel come and report to us? I mean, obviously Joel's working pretty intensely on this, and if he's got some product, we haven't heard from Joel much on this, and I think he needs to be pulled in here to say, and everybody, I think, like Don says, let's get at the table here and just sit down and talk this. Jason, I presume, would be my key person.
He told us at that last meeting he was not a decision maker. Don't kill the messenger. I mean, I was at him at two meetings ago about moving this along.
That was the issue I saw there. Nominally in charge of this is the assistant commissioner, but I think there were a bunch of revenue people in the room, tons of them. And to me, that signals a real diffusion of authority, which means no authority at all. I mean, again, just
also,
my take on it.
Also an expense.
Yeah, if that many people have to show up, then I would suspect there's knowledge in little satellites rather than at the mothership, so to speak. And I think until we can, I assume somewhere there's a mothership that may need some educating.
So
and we've got to
find the mothership.
You know, and we can't offend the satellites because I think they're all working really hard. But
when we have the next meeting, yeah, I know my cartoon. If next month we are hoping to get the Department of Revenue here, can our request be for it to be someone who has got some authority or got some, rather than a messenger? I mean, Jason made it very clear at that one meeting he's only a messenger. When I kept saying we can outsource this, have it up and running in less months than it's taken us to fight with you, and the only thing we got out of that is he must have messengered that back, because right away it moved up to number two on the list. Before, it wasn't even on satellite pickup. So, I mean, at some point, somebody has to be able to create something that will work. And we thought by having it leave the ERER task force and go out to the Department of Revenue, it was going to be ready by the time we got our things ready and it would mesh together. And now we've been 6 months or more where we've been ready and they haven't been ready. So it would seem to me that there has to be someone in charge, someone who can explain to us the time frame and the...
And my take is that, you know, there's always two branches. There's knowledge and there's power. And I think the knowledge is in Jason. I think he's been spearheading this, but he has no power. And I think the people in power may not know all that Jason knows, and that may be why they got the thanks but no thanks, because it's hard to concede that you may not know exactly what's going on. So I'm wondering if there's a good way for us, through Bill and Dallin and others, to educate wherever, the person or persons in whom true power resides there? I mean, not to sound Machiavellian or anything, but I really think that's what it's going to take to really help revenue. Because I think if the right person knew there was help here.
Let me throw this suggestion out. What I'm thinking of trying to do myself would be to contact that assistant commissioner that was there, that Beth.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first time I've dealt with her, and it's clear that she has more authority than anybody else in the room. Mm-hmm. But she didn't know much about what was going on, and I did chat with her afterwards. Gordon has done, I think, everything he can, Gordon Folkman, to promote and push this. And he's been the driving force within the department, and many of the other people that were there at that meeting have been some of the reasons why it has taken 5 years to get to this point. They are not the ones that have facilitated to make it happen, but they've been the ones that have been saying why it shouldn't happen, or it shouldn't happen this way. We shouldn't allow people to have direct communication access back and forth and this sort of thing. And what I'm thinking of doing is, Bill, if you're available, and Dallin, if you're available, I'm just going to suggest, you know, look, and I will use the entree to her about, you know, this whole issue about the scope, and this 6.0 is going to be a major issue that we're just finding out about now. And it is a challenge that's going to confront all of us, and that we need to get some people together, because we don't want this to die on the vine. It's too important an issue, but it's too critical not to address. And there's going to be resistance within your department about it. We've got people, I'll just tell them from the commission, that we're willing to volunteer to meet, to brainstorm, to do what, you know, you're talking about, and to even possibly offer time and talent, and maybe not treasure, but at least time and talent to take a look at this at this point, so that this doesn't get bogged down.
And it may make sense to let her know that others, many other states are doing this, so that she has the comfort that this is not something brand new, that there's all sorts of...
Are there others doing it with XML?
Yes.
Or are they doing it with... Yeah.
But the others that are doing it are not doing it this way.
Do they have...
We're doing a pull, and the other states are doing a push. Many of the other states have document. They have the old CRB document, or its equivalent. And all they've done is made that into a PDF entry file and zing it up there to their departments of revenue, and they still got the same data they were asking for before. You know, they now that's my experience, which is much more limited to three or four states, and Dallas is much broader. I don't know of another one that's doing a pull. Like
so they push out the PDFs. So then they have to data enter it themselves.
I don't think so.
No, because we're enabled. Like, I'm going to go back to Clark County, Nevada, because they went live in Clark County, Nevada, with the generic term we call the helper document. Because different states call it different things, but the helper document that needs to go to approve the deed or other things. So with Clark County, Nevada, they wanted to jump to automation because they had the need so fast that they opened this up and immediately were enabled for Model 2 and Model 3. So they can push the actual image of the original document. Or because the data is captured in text fields, they can push that to them as well, and it can even appear in a printable form. So they can pull it from the fields or they can print it out.
And their Department of Revenues are doing that.
Or the public trustee, or the system is designed. There's only three states that have been holdups with some of these issues. One has been New Jersey, because they've tried to do a portal system, which is when the government builds it themselves. Secondarily has been North Carolina, that's gotten all tangled up in some issues regarding notaries, electronic notaries. And Minnesota, everybody else, where electronic recording is enabled, it's a non-issue. It's a non-issue. You build it and you can code it, so there's no taxes, there's no recording fees. It's there. It's ready to go.
So they're pushing the document to the appropriate department.
That's correct.
Instead of pulling the document.
They've designed it with the way it works in the free market. The way that this has been designed is, as you hear, you know, if a committee was to design an elephant.
But I really think that it's a longer stretch to success trying to re-engineer this whole thing from scratch.
At this point.
You know, I really think we need to first hear, maybe it isn't, but first let's hear what the real obstacles are, and let's double validate this Seminole thing and why, and if there's some easy workaround on that, and let's see if we can't get
Bill,
over
would,
that little
would you do this, would you do that with Jason first? Can
yeah,
you do
I
that?
Can, yeah.
At least have a discussion with him, because I'm thinking...
Yeah.
I'd like to know the answer to that before I talk to the assistant commissioner.
I was going to suggest we need to know that first, because she isn't going to understand.
Right, she's not. I mean, and she's not going to be at that level. But
no.
If you could, you know, we'd at least know the technical issues involved.
Right.
Then at that point.
Yeah. And the scope of the issue. Yeah.
And if you can give me a jingle on that,
I will.
We can discuss strategy of the call. Then it goes to the assistant commissioner.
I'll do that. I'll do that next week.
I respect whatever the committee does. We also hear, the typewriter analogy is perfect, a big concern of, I can do all my documents via my online application, with exception of, I'm going to have to close that down, pull up the Department of Revenue, put in all of the same information, get a number, put it back in my other system, ping the other system, get it. I mean, the submitters, you know this, Jeff, are saying, technology enables. But if the system that they're asking for is so broken, it inhibits the use of it because it's not the way that it works. The work processes are so out of scope that that's where the resistance comes. Any comments?
I mean, nobody, it is. It's, people are resistant to going to multiple systems. But I mean, but I'll say compared to what they have today, they're probably willing to do that for an interim period.
Sure.
Right.
Anyways. So.
And what the counties are very concerned about is the counties want to discontinue entering CRB information into any database. They want the information to be entered by the submitting customers, not have the county people turn around and resubmit it. And part of the problem that we've got is revenue made the counties do this some years ago. And so revenue is not seeing any, from their vantage point, any process improvement. And that's why they've dragged their feet on this, because they don't have to do any entry work. They got the counties doing all the work for them. They're driving the engine, but they don't have to do any of the work. And they have no idea, and they don't care how inefficient it might be where the work gets performed.
Amen. And can we please tell them we only have to do this once? And the submitter can do it. The
right.
submitter does it anyway. And that's why I'm very passionate about a wholesale change, because I don't think they understand how the world is flat to them. They have not realized.
Well, and the other thing that Jason mentioned to our people last Friday was they have not built any web service yet to access information from the state system back to the county.
Right.
And it's going to have to be built. And that's an issue of discussion that they wanted to have about who's going to do that and so on. I'm thinking, oh my gosh.
If that's the case, then there shouldn't be huge integration problems. Because then it's back to the browser issue. And then if that's the point, the only thing that the assessor auditor needs is that number passed from the recorder. And then all this... The whole idea of integration, we're back to the browser concern, but then the integration points
can
go
take
away.
Place
yeah.
elsewhere.
Yeah, we're doing just a lot of. You're right, absolutely. It should go away there. But we're speculating on some non-knowledge here. So
right.
let's find out what we need to know. Great. So we really know how big the elephant is.
So are you going to talk to Dakota?
I will talk to Dakota. I will talk to Jason.
Why don't you and I hook up then? Because then I'll hit Richard and Janelle and from the submitter side of just creating these things, how that's working, what they're doing. I'll go down and watch them. Then we can kind of say, now we know what the issues are, right?
Right. And then Mike will get right back to you as soon as we know.
I was going to say, can you get that, Mike, get that information out to some of the rest of us? Because 30 days from now, I'm going to have to come all the way back up to speed on this, where it would be nice to know the answers
beforehand.
And we would be
I'll
able
get
to
something out to everybody on the commission here
after
they've had
them.
Their meeting and, depending on what they get back will depend on the call that I make to the assistant commissioner and maybe we even discuss doing a conference call if that makes some sense and and all be on it and that sort of thing, so that I'm concerned that I may misstate some technical facts that I may not have. So if you're willing to participate in that regard, too.
And if
Dallin...
Go with me on English trips.
Because my concern is, you know, I'm looking here now. I'm going to go home. I'm going to ask my vendor this, and my county this, and whatever. And maybe it's not necessary. Maybe how I'm working is just fine, and I don't have to start my mind twirling with what changes counties are going to need to make. And I, not only my counties, but, you know, my first gut feeling is to go back and start asking the counties around me, which ones do you use, and are you going to change, and, you know, that type of thing. That won't be necessary if the information comes back a little more positive for us than what I'm feeling or hearing today.
And that supports the wholesale change. Let's design it so fewer people have to be involved
right.
with fewer steps to help accomplish the joint goal.
Right. Mm-hmm. Thank you all very much for your feedback and input on this particular item. I think we've probably beaten it to death here, but I think it's been a necessary discussion, and I think it's been very helpful. Eileen and Bill, thank you both very much for joining us for the commission meeting last week with the folks at Revenue. I thought you both contributed very, very well, and I appreciate your willingness to share your knowledge with that group of folks. And again, thank you for the discussion here, and Dallin, your input, and appreciate that, and so forth. We'll move ahead on it, and we'll see if we can't have some resolution. And we will invite Revenue to come to next month's meeting. And maybe we can have a synergy there that we all are in dancing together here with Dancing with Stars at the April meeting we'll have. Bill, you do that real well. I'm going to have you do it. Anyway. And we'll also re-invite Health then to that meeting. I do have one other item on the agenda, and that was just an update about what took place at the PREA conference. And I know I've got two of my colleagues in the audience that were able to attend, Bill Morey and Kay, and Dallin is also, that's right, sure.
Simple Powers representative, yes.
Yep. And I don't know if anybody else was there, but I thought maybe if you could give us a little update about what took place and... help educate the commission a little bit about the highlights of the conference here. Two weeks ago?
Yeah.
First week in March.
I'm going to pass this on to Bill because Bill put on a presentation with the guide that he's working on and did a very good presentation creating it as a white paper coming out of PREA, which is definitely something that... nationally, so, and he probably
knows
more of the technical things than I do, so I'm
going to
pass
it on.
Thanks, Jane.
You're welcome.
I guess. Dancing with Stars, I told you, Bill. We're
going to... Yeah, we have a white paper that we're working on. It's certainly not me. It's just me. There's a group of us that are working on it. It's two-part white paper. The first is on electronic recording from a recorder's perspective, and the other is from a submitter's perspective, and we're pretty well finished with the reporter side. That was presented, and it met with some good reception, I think, and excellent input on it. So
and even product coming from that to improve.
Yeah, and so that'll be coming out soon on the website. And then we'll start to work on the other side. The other piece, I think, that's of some... Two other pieces that are of significance, I think, in this group. One was... the fact that 2.4.1 is going to be replaced, the PREA standard is going to be replaced soon with 3.1, I believe it's going to be called. And by soon, my best recollection, I asked Kay this before the meeting, what that date is exactly. And I'm not sure that I recall it precisely, but it's within the next 3 months.
You say spring.
Spring. And so that'll be of significance. It is a it's going to be very nice. I sat in on the technical session on that, and Jeff Pan's going to love it. it's great. They're doing it the right way, and it'll be out there for everyone to review and all that kind of thing way ahead of time, so before it gets implemented. And that's coming. That'll be significant for us, I think. It'll be just one of those ongoing evolutions that this committee was created to handle. And we'll take it in stride. 2.4.1 will continue to be supported for a long while. So those of us that are there don't have to, go crazy or ballistic on changing. They're doing it the right way. So that's good, but it is coming. And so, hopefully once we get past our document type issues here, we can get into moving forward with the rest of the world. The other issue, just very briefly, or observation, I guess, that I would have for this group is, even though we are in the economic times we're in, and that counties are feeling it every bit as much as everyone else is, the membership, the attendance at that conference was down a little, but not hugely. Everybody was rather surprised, I think, that it was as good as it was.
Yeah, about 5 or 10 people.
That's pretty phenomenal in terms of interest, especially given the fact that, the housing starts and yep. the consequences of that are way, way down,
yep.
and the whole mortgage issue. There's still a ton of interest in electronic recording and moving this thing forward. I think that's just very good news all the way around. Helps us to keep putting the pressure on places that we have to put pressure.
Actually, the other part of that, too, is that the business side was in stronger representation than almost the government side. The government side had good representation, but we had a very strong business side. So I think that spells out some things that there's definitely interest there on the business side, and we have to look at it. So.
Dallin, anything else to add?
Two quick points. Likewise, reflected from our perspective, it's great when people come together for a common purpose and the coordination around what's happening. And again, the best in class thinking and discussions that are happening at that level to help, not only with what we're currently wrestling with, but looking to the future. So it was also a very positive conference for us. The one other major takeaway for us as an organization, instead of there being ironclad buckets or real demarcation between the various document models, that it's more of a concentric circle. And that model one heavily overlaps now model two, but heavily overlaps model three. And so instead of thinking about them very rigid, to start to think about them more of a spectrum instead of three separate categories. So that's clearly coming through. I mean, for example, model one documents, even if they're recorded only in paper, the recorders then put that on a storage system. And if it's ever accessed again, it's electronic. On the opposite side of that, a level three can be completely processed. They go to the county and then print it out and take home a copy. So the spectrum there to think about the models. So those are the two major takeaways from us.
Okay. Thank you all very much for your update. Appreciate that. I think commission members appreciate knowing kind of what's happening at the national level and appreciate your attendance, because there's a lot of people in Minnesota that were not able to go this year, and it really relates to financial issues. And just glad and fortunate that we had some folks going, so appreciate your update. Anybody have anything else? If not, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to adjourn. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you all very much.
I'm only 5 seconds over.
Have a great day.
Didn't think
Ryan.
I could do that, did you?